faces the defining challenge of our time. Democracy, government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Biden's virtual democracy summit begins. It's December 9th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, China lashes out at Australia for joining Olympic boycott. Hong Kong's Jimmy Lai convicted for remembering Tiananmen. Mixing and matching COVID vaccines. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The first virtual summit for democracy is underway. In his opening remarks, U.S. President Joe Biden said democracy is a choice.
Democracies are not all the same. We don't agree on everything, all of us in this meeting today. But the choices we make together are going to define, in my view, the course of our shared future for generations to come. And as a global community for democracy, we have to stand up for the values that unite us.
The United States is planning to provide up to $424.4 million toward the Presidential Initiative for Democratic Renewal. It's designed to grow democracy across the globe. The two-day event gathers more than 100 world leaders, civil society activists, and journalists for the largest gathering of its kind ever held. And as VOA's Chris Cascajo reports, the summit highlights that even developed democracies are facing trouble.
The Biden administration says the virtual forum will touch on three themes: strengthening democracy, defending against authoritarianism, and promoting respect for human rights. But officials acknowledge some backsliding of rights even in more established democracies, including the United States, with contested elections and restriction of civil liberties amid a global pandemic. And in Asia, from Myanmar to Hong Kong, there has been real regression, says Phil Robertson of Human Rights Watch.
And we've seen this certainly with the COVID-19 pandemic, where the pandemic and, you know, various different regulations on public health have been used across the region to limit free speech or to prevent people from gathering to demonstrate peacefully for their rights. And, you know, these sort of things need to be taken on.
Rights groups are watching to see what specific actions will come out of the summit. Michael Jonathan Green with the Center for Strategic and International Studies says the summit itself is an important signal to civil societies and dissident groups, but it's not enough.
So I think the administration needs to find a way to consult and integrate this more in our diplomacy, to find ways to reach out to more countries. I think they need to be more inclusive in the year of action.
Dr. Chan Dang Vu, a practicing psychiatrist in Virginia and a member of Viet Tan, a group advocating for democracy in Vietnam, says he hopes the U.S. and like-minded countries will impose targeted sanctions on corrupt officials. Vietnam is not among the summit's participants.
One of the sanctions that we have in mind, and in our opinion is one of the most effective way, is to go directly into the where it hurts most. That's the pocket of those responsible individuals who are abusing human rights and kind of making the corruption rampant in those countries.
A recent report by Civicus, an international nonprofit organization, labels it one of the most closed societies in Asia, next to China, Laos, and North Korea. The White House has already taken some actions leading up to the summit. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The Biden administration will not send any diplomatic or official representation to the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics and Paralympic Games, given the PRC's ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity in Xinjiang and other human rights abuses.
On Monday, it announced the creation of a national strategy on countering corruption. Chris Cascajo, VOA News, Washington.
Over the weekend, China held its own virtual international forum on democracy, reportedly joined by politicians and scholars from more than 120 countries, and released a white paper falsely claiming its one-party system is a democracy that works better than the system in the United States. In one of the more colorful examples of Russian pushback on the summit, a Russian political commentator writing in a state-run Chinese newspaper compared the U.S. initiative to, quote, a mistress of a brothel teaching morality to schoolgirls. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Hong Kong stifles journalists with threats of expulsions a year after security law. Philippine human rights groups dismayed after Supreme Court rules parts of an anti-terror law unconstitutional. Pakistan reports first case of Omicron. New Zealand's plan to end smoking, a lifetime ban for youth. And United Nations Security Council slam sentencing of ex-Myanmar leader Suu Kyi. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. A small but influential group of Western nations has announced diplomatic boycotts of the upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics, citing China's record of human rights abuses. Britain, Lithuania, Canada, and Australia have all joined the United States in the effort, which will keep government officials from attending the Games without sacrificing the athletes' ability to compete. For Australia, though, the move comes at a high economic risk. The country has already been hit by Beijing's boycotts of major commodities such as coal. And as Phil Mercer reports, China has condemned Australia's diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics as, quote, political posturing.
Australia's boycott of the Winter Games in China includes politicians and diplomats. It comes as friction between the two countries intensifies over human rights, trade, and allegations of Chinese interference in Australia's domestic affairs. Canberra's call last year for an inquiry into the origins of COVID-19 also infuriated Beijing, which took it as criticism of its handling of the virus. Disputes over Hong Kong's democracy movement and China's military ambitions in the South China Sea have also contributed to the tension. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
It is not surprising that Australian government officials would therefore not be going to China for those games. Australian athletes will, though. Australia's a great sporting nation. I very much separate the issues of sport and these other political issues, and I would like to see those issues resolved, but they are not resolved. Australia will not step back from the strong position we've had standing up for Australia's interests.
China has said that tensions in the bilateral relationship lie squarely on the Australian side. China is Australia's biggest trading partner. Political disputes in recent years have seen China impose tariffs and restrictions on a range of Australian imports, including coal, wine, barley, and lobsters. Caitlin Byrne is the director of the Griffith Asia Institute at Griffith University in Queensland. She says Australia's diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics could cause China to retaliate.
Will it achieve any significant outcome? Possibly not. And in fact, it does bring risks as well. China has already said in response to the United States statement of the diplomatic boycott and in response to Australia that there will be countermeasures, and we are likely to see some kind of response. It's not clear what that will be.
Australia's diplomatic boycott follows a similar move earlier this week by the United States and Britain. On Thursday, Canada said it too wouldn't send officials to the Winter Olympics, which start February 4 in the Chinese capital. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, a blow to democracy in Hong Kong. Happening now in Asia. Toymaker Lego is building a new factory in Vietnam to keep up with rapidly growing demand for its colored plastic bricks across Asia. The Danish firm says it will invest more than $1 billion in the project, which will be its second Asian factory after it opened one in China back in 2016. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're so happy you're with us here on VOA Asia. Media tycoon and prominent pro-democracy advocate Jimmy Lai was convicted Thursday for taking part in an unauthorized candlelight vigil commemorating the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre. Lai and seven other people were accused of incitement to knowingly take part in an unauthorized assembly by participating in the event last year. Authorities banned the annual June 4th event for the first time in 3 decades in 2020, citing coronavirus concerns. Also convicted Thursday, Thursday were Chow Heng Tung, who is a vice chairperson of the now defunct Vigil Organizer, the Hong Kong Alliance in Support of Patriotic Democratic Movements of China, as well as activist and former reporter Gwyneth Ho. This news from VOA Asia. The bodies of India's defense chief and 12 others who died in a helicopter crash arrived in New Delhi Thursday. General Bipin Rawat, his wife, and 12 defense personnel were en route to a military staff college when the Air Force helicopter they were traveling in came down. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. SAGE, the Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Vaccination, will brief on the outcomes of an extraordinary meeting to examine evidence on the efficacy and problems of using and mixing different vaccines for COVID-19. VOA's Lisa Schlein reports.
Current data show that vaccines against COVID-19 provide a robust level of protection against severe forms of disease. However, emerging evidence indicates vaccines begin to lose their effectiveness about 6 months after they have been administered. This puts older adults and people with underlying conditions at particular risk. Chair of SAGE, Alejandro Cravioto, says the group of experts agrees a booster shot would provide a greater level of protection for people at risk. However, he notes, vaccines are in short supply in many parts of the world. He says the wide administration of booster doses risks exacerbating inequities in vaccine access. He notes most current infections are among unvaccinated people, the majority of whom live in poor, developing countries. He says SAGE believes they should receive these life-saving vaccines instead of providing further doses to people who already are fully inoculated against the coronavirus.
For the time being, we continue to support one, the need for equity in the distribution allocation of vaccines, and two, the use of third doses only on those that we have previously recommended, those that have received inactivated vaccines and those that are immunocompromised, which are the two groups that we feel should be protected further by a third dose of the primary process.
Cravioto says the meeting also discussed the feasibility of mixing and matching different vaccines, such as those developed by Pfizer and Moderna, to achieve full immunity against COVID.
So WHO supports a flexible approach to homologous or a single platform versus a heterologous mix and match schedules. We still believe that the best approach is to use the same vaccine for the two primary doses.
For national immunization programs, however, he says a different vaccine can be used for an additional third dose. This if the vaccine used for the two primary shots is in short supply and unavailable. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Thailand's Supreme Court has jailed a top construction tycoon for more than 3 years over a poaching incident in a wildlife sanctuary. Premchai Karnasuta shot and cooked over a campfire a black panther. He is president of Italian Thai Development, PLC, one of the country's biggest and best-known construction companies. Thailand's Buddhists are addressing a shortage of ordained male monks by allowing female monks to serve. So far, some 258 women have been ordained as bhikkhuni. Venerable Dhammananda was ordained in 2003 as the first female monk, challenging the long-standing patriarchal traditions of her faith. Toymaker Lego is building a new factory in Vietnam to keep up with rapidly growing demand for its colored plastic bricks across Asia. The Danish firm says it will invest more than $1 billion in the project, which will be its second Asian factory after it opened one in China back in 2016. A Japanese billionaire and his producer arrived at the International Space Station Thursday morning, the first visit by self-paying space tourists to the orbiting outpost in more than a decade. Fashion tycoon Yusaku Maezawa and producer Yozo Hirano, who plans to film his mission, blasted off for the International Space Station in a Russian spacecraft, along with Russian cosmonaut Alexander Misurkin. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.